I'm going to focus on the last part of our vision. Love God, love people, invest in others. We are growing disciples to build the kingdom by loving God, loving people, and investing in others. And I'm going to share with you a very, very, very practical message today, focusing mostly on investing in others. Loretta has been doing a phenomenal job with Operation Love Your Neighbor. If you haven't read any of her articles in the newsletter, you really need to, because there's really good stuff in there. And if you have a hard time connecting with people, well, Operation Love Your Neighbor is trying to connect with people that you don't normally connect with, that maybe don't go to church, and trying to start relationships with them and show them that they do matter and that you do care and God loves them. Amen? So I would like to build on some of the things that she has put in the newsletter and that we have talked about investing in others. The title of my message today is The Power of Listening. The Power of Listening. How many of you consider yourself to be a good listener? Be bold. If you think you're a good listener, raise your hand. How many of you think that you got a lot of work to do as far as listening goes? Okay. I won't look at you, Bill. Okay. All right. I'm going to test your listening skills. You ready? Raise your right hand and wave it to me. Okay. Now, with your pointer finger and your thumb, make a circle. Everybody got it? Now, put that circle on your chin. Jessica, where is your chin? Gotcha. You were watching. You weren't listening. How many of you put your circle here? Okay. Now, I want you to think, and you can give me some input. It might not get onto the recording, but you can give me input anyway. Think of someone in your life that you consider a good listener. Okay? You got that person? Someone in your life that you think is a good listener. I want to hear what makes you think they're a good listener. Just yell it out, and I'll repeat it for the sake of the recording. They let you talk and they don't interrupt. They use good eye contact. Boy, you're teaching my message. They're non-judgmental. Repeat back to you what you've said. Come on, this side is winning. Anybody over here got anything more? They don't start talking about themselves when you're trying to tell them something. Okay, good ones. Now think of someone in your life that may not, in your opinion, be a good listener. And why do you say that? They're judgmental. They interrupt. They're critical. They're mean. Okay. All right. Someone once said that listening is the missing key to good communication. And I also heard somebody make this analogy. Think about, it's said that if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, does it really make a noise? Well, then they asked, if someone is speaking and nobody's listening, is that really communication? And my answer would be no. No. That, to me, communication is a two-way thing. Somebody is speaking and other people are listening. It may be the golden key to open the door to human relationships. Just being willing to sit and listen. Would you say that people in general are getting better or worse at listening? How many of you say better? Not a one. How many of you say worse? Okay. And I bet we could all yell out all sorts of reasons for that, and we'll probably, you know, you'll probably agree to some of the things that I'm saying today because you have experienced it. Turn to James 1:19. James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." In the New Century Version, it says, "Always be willing to listen and slow to speak." Now, when this word hear or listen, actually means, I don't really like the word hear. I like the word listen, because there's a big difference between the two. We all hear, you know, unless we have some kind of a deficiency, deformity. It's one of our five senses. We can all hear, but we all don't listen. To actually listen means to attend to consider what is being said, to understand, to perceive the sense of what is said. In relationships, I think you can agree that a lot of times we're listening to the point and we're thinking about what we're going to say when it's our turn to talk. Okay? By not listening, we're showing very little interest, and relationships go down the tube. I think we can all agree with that. So why don't we listen effectively? Number one, we're too occupied with our own needs and problems. Okay? You know, I know I have to constantly be asking myself, where am I putting myself above other people? Where am I acting selfishly? And if you're open, the Holy Spirit can show you very readily where you're being selfish. And it hurts when you realize, you know, I'm really more focused on me than I am about anybody around me. Why don't we listen effectively? Because of ignorance. Listening takes time and effort. And a lot of times we don't think about that, and we don't make the time and make the effort to listen. Another reason is because there's so much noise and distraction nowadays. You know, there's so many other things to look at and listen to and think about. And, you know, our heads are filled with all sorts of stuff. And, you know, that's another good reason to meditate and to just sit still and be still and let God speak, you know, to calm your bodies. I'm always saying to kids, calm your body, you know, and just take a deep breath. There's so much stuff going on around us that we don't think we have time to listen to this person, and we don't think we have time to build our relationships with other people. So why is it important to listen? There's important reasons, because there's people who want to know that they matter. They want to know that we care. They want to know that somebody understands them, that we're surrounded by them. There's the people in this room that probably think, nobody wants to listen to me. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, but they don't want to listen. We need to be aware of people around us. It helps us to connect. It builds trust. It shows we care. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't want to be heard? Ever? Is there anybody in this room that has thought, I just want to be heard? Probably everybody. Okay? Another reason to listen, I touched on this a little bit, it allows us to take our focus off ourselves. It helps us to discover that there's others that are struggling and have it worse than we do. How many of you have gone through a really tough time, and then you just happen to be talking to somebody else, or you hear about somebody else and you realize, why am I so upset about what I'm going through? And you know what? And what's even better is we discover those people that are struggling, have it worse than us, and are winning. If we don't listen to those around us, if we don't care about those around us, we can't discover those things. There's one particular person that I think about every time I think about discovering that just listening to other people, you can learn so much about yourself, and they can teach you lessons just by listening. There's one particular person that would call, and we'd be on the phone for a very, very long time. And she would just share and share and share and share and share. And most of the time, she just wanted me to listen and not to give input. And, you know, you can feel it even when you're talking to somebody on the phone, that if you try to give input a lot of times, that's not what they're looking for. They're just looking for somebody to listen. And so I finally realized that with this person, that I don't need to have all the answers. Even though she was calling to share something she was struggling with, I didn't need to have the answer. If she wanted my answer, if she wanted my opinion, then I learned she was going to ask me for it. But most of the time, she just wanted to call and just kind of speak out some things. And 9 times out of 10, I would get off the phone with that woman, and I would be up. And I would learn some things. And she would teach me without even knowing she was teaching me. And I would realize, you know what? My stuff doesn't matter. She's dealing with stuff much harder than me, and she's teaching me. Okay? So listening, another good reason to listen is to get off of our pity parties. Helping other people actually helps ourselves. You know, when I'm feeling really, really down and like, you know, can't anything go right, then if I make the effort, if I choose to, a lot of times I'll think, all right, I want to talk to this person, or I want to find out how this person's doing, or maybe I want to go help this person because it helps me get out of my pity party. I'm sure you can all agree. And it makes other people more likely to want to listen to us if we listen to them. Another good reason to listen. Imagine with me for a minute a world where we taught listening in school as a skill, just as high as reading. Okay? I think we'd have a lot more empathetic, compassionate kids. I think the kids are less empathetic and compassionate nowadays because we're too busy. We're too busy to listen to them. We're too busy to connect and find out where they're really at. And so they've given up. And they're lashing out because they don't have people who seem to care about what's going on with their world. Imagine a world where we would teach kids how to listen. And not just, you just sit down and listen. That's not teaching a child how to listen. You can actually teach a child how to have good eye contact, like somebody said, just listen and not, interrupt and things like that. I think that would be awesome. Imagine a world where parents would really listen to their kids. What better way to teach your kids to listen to you, but to listen to them? And not just, once again, say, you never listen to me. You know, teach them by example, because that's how your kids learn. They learn more about the example that you're setting in front of them than they do about your words. Okay? Imagine a world where husbands listen to their wives and wives listen to their husbands. Look at the projector for a minute, and then I want to show you a comic. Hopefully he can get it up there. Bill and I have had more laughs about this. She's saying, you never listen to me. You only hear what you want to hear. And he says, sure, I'll have a beer. So now a lot of times, if we find that we're not listening to one another, or if I look at him, if I start saying, you didn't hear what I said, he'll say to me, sure, I'll have a beer. But it's true. Imagine a world where husbands really did listen to their wives and wives really did listen to their husbands. I bet the divorce rate would go way down. Okay? And imagine a world where leaders listen to the people. If we chose people according to how they listened to us instead of just blah, then I think things would be a lot different. Okay? And imagine a world where people could feel safe and confident to share their highs and their lows, and to know that there was someone who would listen so they don't have to stuff their feelings. We'd have a lot less sickness and disease, because a lot less suicide rate, too. Yes. Many times we get sick and we have disease because we've stuffed our feelings. And it could be because we don't have anybody to just let it out. A lot of times we're not willing to let it out, and there could be a lot of different reasons for that. But imagine that world where people could just share their highs and share their lows, and people would just listen. And then you wouldn't have to stuff all that stuff. And then your bodies would be a lot healthier. Turn with me to Matthew 7. Well, we don't even have to turn there. What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. The English Standard Version says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. The New American Standard Bible says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. I think we all agree that we all want to be listened to. So why is it that it's not okay not to listen to everybody else? Treat other people the way that we want to be treated, and that handles all sorts of stuff. Amen? So I'm going to get real practical here, and I'm going to talk about effective listening skills. And I'm going to use an acronym, and thank God my son's not in here because he hates acronyms. They bug him. But I'm going to use the acronym LISTEN. And if you have pencil and paper, just put LISTEN down the side of your paper, and we're going to talk about some effective listening skills using those letters. So, letter L is for look. And Wayne, you said good eye contact means that they're a good listener. That is my point here. When you're listening to someone, engage in good eye contact. How many of you find that this is really easy for you? How many of you have to work on it? I'm getting better. I used to be awful. I used to be, unless you really knew me when I was a teenager in high school, unless you really knew me, you thought I was the most stuck-up person ever, because I did not have a lot of eye contact with people that I did not know. I was full of fear, I was full of insecurities, and I'm also very task-oriented. And so I, you know, had a plan, and I just was, you know, doing that. And I didn't really take the time to engage in people around me. So to effectively listen, look, engage in good eye contact. And I'm glad you brought that out, Darcy, because I was going to make that point before. You're right, because I'm always saying to him, honey, I hear what you're saying. Keep your eye on the road. Keep your eye on, because he'll want to turn and look to me while he's driving. So he's really good at eye contact. But you're right, it's not a good idea when you're driving. And also, if you have teenage kids, you know, sometimes with kids, they don't like for you to sit them down in front of you and say, all right, we're going to talk. It ain't going to happen. And a lot of times, it's better not to have eye contact. And in the car, is if the kids are in the back seat, I've done this with different kids before. If they're in the back seat, it's easier for some kids to talk to you when you're not looking at them. Okay? So there are exceptions to this. What are some reasons for poor eye contact? I talked about that. Your insecurities, your fears, your just lack of interest are some reasons. And that gives to the message to the other person that they're really not listening to you, and you really don't care. Wouldn't you agree? Don't you have people, I'm sure you're all thinking of people right now, who you try to talk to, and all of a sudden they're looking at something that's happening over here, and it's like, you want to, and I have. I've stopped talking. And sometimes they notice I've stopped talking, other times they weren't listening. Hearing is one of our five senses, like I said, but listening is intentional. Okay? The eyes are the window of the soul. A lot of times we need to look at that person, because you can tell what's going on, especially the closer you are to a person. You can tell just by looking in their eyes that there's something wrong, or that everything is right. And a lot of times, if you're very perceptive to people, you can tell without really knowing them that well. Okay? So concentrate on looking right into their eyes. You can tell what's being said, what's not being said, and how it's being said by looking right in their eyes. Look behind the words, the emotions, the feelings, the needs, the body language. You know, that's why I hate texting. Because you cannot see the person. And a lot of times, when you read something, it's like, are they mad? Are they just having a bad day? Are they, you know, what does this mean? Because you can't actually see the person. So a lot of times I hate texting just because of that reason. We can't listen effectively if we're walking away, fixing dinner, flipping through the paper. And especially, remember this with your kids, okay? If your kids are trying to talk to you, and you're gonna realize the times of day that they're more open and want to talk. So if we're working on good listening skills, you're going to think about those things. You're going to think about, when is Johnny more apt to want to share his day? Is it when he first walks in the door, or does he want to get a snack first? Is it after he's had a snack? And then make it a point to understand those times and use those times to sit and listen and let them talk. Letter I is inquire. Use good, open, probing questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Questions, open-ended questions, are questions that you can't answer with a yes or no or a real quick answer, okay? They're questions that allow for more explanation, like, how are you feeling about blah, blah, blah? They can't say yes. They can't say no. They could say fine. But most of the time, it allows for them to expound on some things and open up the conversation. What do you hope to do this summer? Yes? No? You know, they have to tell you what they hope to do this summer. How did you and your husband meet? It's another good open-ended question. And I love to hear about stuff like that, by the way. If you ever want to tell me how you and your husband met, I love hearing stuff like that. What did you do? This is one that I used recently when I was at the high school, and I was running a register, and one of the high schoolers came up to me, and she had braces on both of her arms. And I didn't say, did you hurt your arms? Yes. I said, what did you do to your arms? And she seemed to be very enjoy telling me what happened to her arms. So then the next time that I saw her, she had one brace on it. You only have one brace on, so it's getting better, and blah, 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 you know? So that was an open-ended question. What was your favorite part of dot, dot, dot? What was your favorite part of the movie? What was your favorite part of going to on that hike? What was your favorite? That's a great one with the kids. What was your kids went to Howe Cavern recently? What was your favorite part of Howe's Cavern? Okay, those are all open-ended questions. It allows people to open up and tell them more. Another suggestion is, that's interesting. Tell me some more about that. That would be another good suggestion for inquiry. Okay, it shows that you have an interest in what that person is saying. You're not just looking for yeah, no, fine. Okay. Letter S. Stay engaged. There's two parts to this one. Stay engaged. Well, we'll do that one first. Don't rush the speaker. Did you know that we listen 5 times faster than we speak? And I think that's probably one of the main reasons why we jump to conclusions, and because we're listening a lot faster than this person is speaking. Proverbs 29:20, you may want to just jot that down. It says, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. So don't be so quick to want to talk. Just stay engaged and listen. Proverbs 18:13 in the Century English Version, I think that one is. Anyone who answers without listening is foolish and confused. New Living Testament in the same verse is, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about love being patient and love being kind. And being patient and kind is just staying engaged with that person and just let them talk, let them speak. I grew up with a dad who talks very slow and very methodically and likes to tell every single detail. Sometimes I wanted to just melt into the floor because he just went on and on and on and on. But I love my dad. Now I love listening to my dad and listening to his stories. But stay engaged with people. Don't be so quick. That's love. It's patience just to sit and let them talk. And then 1 Corinthians 13 also talks about love doesn't seek its own. We can't be so interested in ourselves and interested in what we're thinking about what this person's saying, because we have to get our word in edgewise. We're a fool if we do that. Proverbs just proved it. And it's seeking our own. It's not putting the other person first. It's not treating them like we want to be treated. And then the second S is summarize. A lot of times when you talk to people, to let them know that you've heard what they say, kind of try to summarize it. So what I hear you saying is, and a lot of times we're totally off base. That's not what they were saying. So it gives them more of an opportunity to explain themselves better. So it, again, helps them to know that you understand. It confirms to the other person that you're trying, that you're really trying. Never assume that you've heard what they said. Assumptions are so dangerous. And, you know, I've done it more than too many times. And then don't jump to conclusions. Somebody mentioned that before. A good listener doesn't jump to conclusions. And kids don't want you to jump to conclusions. Okay? I think that's one of the biggest beefs that kids have with adults. I did not say that. You're thinking that you know what I said. I didn't say that. Okay? Don't jump to conclusions with kids. They hate it. Letter T, take notes. Now, I'm not saying to carry around a notebook, and as you talk to people, you're taking notes in this notebook. That this is what you should not do. But I like to, after I've spoken to somebody that is sharing something that I really need to keep as a matter of prayer, I really need to follow up on, I find a place. That's one of the reasons why I got my tablet, is because I needed some place really quick that I could jot down all those things about that person. And so therefore, if I see them again, then I remember what we talked about, or I remember something that I can ask them again about. So it's easy for me. Make a mental note. I'm sure if we had time, I'd love to hear all the different ways that you guys have of making mental notes of what people have said and about their names and things like that. How many of you have an easy time remembering somebody's name? Lissy does. Lissy's the only one. Loretta does. Boy, they're both expressors. Anybody else have an easy time remembering somebody? How many of you have kind of a hard time remembering people's names? Like when you turn around and walk away, you've already forgotten what their name is. Okay? Me too. Something I'm trying to do to help me with that is I associate the person's name with something, with a family member, or there's a new girl at work whose name is Glenda. And for the life of me, I could not remember this girl, Glenda. And so somebody said, and I was mentioning to another coworker, I can't remember this girl's name. And she says, well, remember Glendale Nursing Home. How easy was that? So now every time I look at this girl, I think Glendale Nursing Home, Glenda. And it's very easy. I heard one time that Theodore Roosevelt would picture the person's name written across their forehead. May work. I don't know if it would work for me, although I am a visual learner, but I don't know if that would work for me. Okay, letter E, encourage. And I'm going to get back to Loretta again, go back to your newsletter. She talked about encouraging people. But when you're listening, things that we can do or say to encourage them to keep speaking, okay? Like smile, keep that eye contact and nod, okay? The next one could work or not work. The uh-huh, you know, acknowledge that you hear them. Although, if you're like me, you get very good at uh-huh and hope that they're thinking that you're listening, but you're really not listening. So that one could backfire on you. Or yes, or go on, or tell me more. Just encourage that person. Oh, I like that, or that was a good idea, or... and then what did you do, or stuff like that. So just encourage them to keep speaking. What would be something that would discourage or cut off somebody from continuing to speak? What do you think? I don't want to hear that. Well, that's stupid. That would really cut it off. Penny. A look. Yep. Who cares? Boy, you guys are mean. Peg. That happens to everybody. Yeah. You know, even stuff like just believe God. You know, it's true. It's true, but that's not really encouraging them to keep talking, you know. So we have to watch things like that. What else? I agree. God will use you, your temperament, personally for each individual person. The way Jess handles and listens to one person, the way I handle and listen to another person is going to be totally different, and maybe different situations. Okay? So looking away, we talked about jumping to conclusions, finishing their sentences. Oh, I'm so bad at this sometimes. Finishing their sentences, interrupting, and facial expressions. We talked about that. All right. Letter N, effective listening skills would be neutralize your feelings. Stay objective. Avoid being biased about things. Okay? In effective listening, the spotlight definitely should be on the other person. What our goal is to put ourselves in that person's shoes. We tune into their way of life, whether we agree with their way of life or not. I am working very closely with a person right now. She's my boss at the kitchen, who's living a lifestyle that I totally disagree with. But that doesn't mean that she does not deserve the right for me to listen to her. And I have grown to thoroughly enjoy this woman. And I thoroughly enjoy what she has to say. I thoroughly enjoy what's going on in her life. So with her, I've learned not to be biased. Sometimes I forget what lifestyle she's leading. Don't be biased. Pay attention to the content of the person. The person may be good at delivery, but think about what they're trying to get across to you. They may not be good at what they're trying to convey to you. Don't write them off because they're not good at expressing themselves. There's another teenager that comes into the kitchen, and he's got these, what do you call, gauge? And I can look right through his ears. And he wears this hat, you know. His appearance looks like he's a big tough guy, and I know the car he drives. He comes across as a big tough guy. And if I was biased, I would look at this kid and say, what are you up to? You know, what trouble are you going to cause? And I'd be very suspicious of him. But I've grown to love this kid. I've learned to know what he likes for lunch, and if we're having that for lunch, I'll say, Zach, look what we're having for lunch, or you're going to be happy today, or something like that. He's reaching, hey, this kid is does not like himself. He comes across as he's this big, tough guy, and he wants me to know that, you know, he's got a crowbar in his car for fights and all this business. But he catches my eye every single time he comes in. He looks to see whether I'm looking at him, looking for him. So pay attention to stuff like that. Don't just draw your conclusions because they look or they act or they don't express themselves the way you think that they should express themselves. Watch being biased with kids. The home should become a place where kids can be honest. They can be honest in expressing their grief, their hurts, and their disappointments. It's up to us. You know, little girls and problems with boyfriends and boys and problems with girlfriends and stuff like that. The home should be the place where they can come and just tell you everything. And you're not going to jump to conclusions. We're not going to say you shouldn't feel like that. That we just ride it out with them. Amen? In conflict situations, learn to listen to yourself first. And here's some suggestions. If you're in a conflict with somebody, before you actually communicate with that person, find out what's happening with yourself. What feelings are you feeling? What's your body doing? Is your body feeling all tense and mad and angry? Let it go and then decide to listen to that person. So we need to take care of our stuff first before we can effectively listen to somebody else. Or we're bound to be biased. We're bound to jump to conclusions if we go in and we're ready for a fight. okay? So in conclusion, L-I-S-T-E-N, look, inquire, summarize, and stay focused or stay engaged. Take notes, encourage, and neutralize your feelings. Last scripture, Jeremiah 3:33. Turn to that with me. Jeremiah 3:33. One of my favorite scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 33. 33:3. Put the colon in the wrong spot. 33:3. Hopefully that's it. Call to me. Yes. Okay, this is God speaking. And this is what I want you to leave with today. God says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Almighty Heavenly Father is willing to listen to us. What he's saying to us is to call on me anytime, anywhere, whether you're angry, whether you're mad, same thing, whether you're sad, whether you're depressed, whether you're grieving, call on me. He's willing to listen. He's not a God that does not listen. So call on him, and he will answer you. And as we develop that relationship with our Father God and learn and grow in how much he loves us and is willing to listen to us, then we will automatically become people who could say to somebody else, call on me, and I will answer you. I will listen. Amen? Thank you.